Thank you so much for joining us online today at Christ Covenant Church. We hope you sense God's presence and are encouraged by the message. Now, here's Pastor Ryan Weems.
So if you got a copy of God's Word, turn with me to Psalm chapter 15. That's going to be our main text today. For those that are brand new, we're actually in a summer series called Summer Mixtape, where we're taking a road trip through the Psalms. This is part three, and we're going to be in Psalm chapter 15. And while you're at it, why not grab something to take notes with? Be a good idea in church. You can even follow along on the digital notes and the YouVersion Bible app. And also, by the way, every single first and third Sunday of the month, so this one in the 11 a.m. service, this service, we've got live Spanish translation that's happening. So if you need that and you haven't gotten it yet, head out to the lobby and talk with one of our team members. We'll get you set up. And of course, we put those on YouTube as well. But Psalm chapter 15, in this psalm, just like last week, this was written by David, so the warrior poet. And if you're brand new to the church, brand new to the Bible, David is the same David from the story David and Goliath, the young man that took out the giant Goliath. So that's who we're talking about. And what we're about to read, it doesn't really sound like a psalm or a song. It sounds more like a proverb because it's very practical, just kind of step by step. So it's going to help every single one of us, dads like myself, but also every person. And David starts Psalm 15 with a question in verse 1. Then he answers that question. I'm going to read out the NIV, and here's what it says. Lord, who may dwell in your sacred tent? Who may live on your holy mountain? The one whose walk is blameless, who does what is righteous, who speaks the truth from their heart, whose tongue utters no slander, who does no wrong to a neighbor and casts no slur on others, who despises a vile person, but honors those who fear the Lord, who keeps an oath even when it hurts. Isn't that so good? Like, that's what God's called us to, right? Like, you keep your word no matter what, and they do not change their mind, who lends money to the poor without interest, who does not accept a bribe against the innocent. Whoever does these things, David says, empowered by the Holy Spirit, whoever does these things will never be shaken. For those taking notes, I'm calling this Father's Day message, Four Ways to Live Unshakable. Four ways to live unshakable. Let's pray together. Lord, we love you so much. And man, we've had so much fun in your house today in both our services. And I just pray for this service right now, Lord, that you would speak to us. I pray that you would encourage all the dads represented in the room and online. God, I pray that your blessing, your favor be poured out upon them. I pray, God, that they would feel just how thankful we are to have them in our lives. I also pray, God, for those represented that are listening, that maybe their relationship with their father is not what they hoped it would be. Maybe their father's been absent. Maybe they even lost their father recently. I don't know what they're going through, but you know. And I pray, God, that you would gently remind them, encourage them that you're our heavenly father. You're our good father. And when people on earth let us down, you have never and will never let us down. And so I pray you'd encourage your people. And we pray also, Lord, that you would use this message to encourage us, but also challenge us in areas to help us to be more like you. We love you so much, Jesus. And we ask all this and we pray all this in your holy name. Amen. Amen. You know, this past week, as I was preparing for this message, I kind of went on an interesting internet search, which is kind of dangerous just to begin with, right? But I kind of went on a trail of thought just on Google, just searching different things. And here's what I was going after. I was looking up things that seem to be real from the outside, but they're actually counterfeit. Like things that they put on this facade, but when you really get down to it, it's not real at all. It's not authentic. And we have this when it comes to like food, right? I don't know if you've seen this. My favorite soda is, and we got sodas and popcorn, all that for you to grab after the service. But my favorite one is Dr. Pepper. We got any Dr. Pepper fans in the house? Okay, a few of us. I love Dr. Pepper. And if you love Dr. Pepper like me, you know there's a counterfeit. There's a cheap knockoff. It's called Dr. Thunder. Have you seen that one before? It's not the same thing, okay? Like Mr. Pibb is a knockoff that's kind of close, but still, there's only one Dr. Pepper. But if you're a Coke person or whatever you like, there's usually some kind of cheap counterfeit. So I was looking this up, and it's not just food, but also brand names. I don't know if you've seen this, But you got to be careful, especially if you go to like these discount places or places, maybe if you've ever been to New York before, they got whole areas like this where you think you're getting a pair of Oakley sunglasses, but they're Folkleys, fake Oakleys. I don't know if you've seen anything like that. Or ladies, you get a purse and you think it's Louis Vuitton, but it's actually Suzy Vuitton or something like that. You know, you're like, you got to be careful and read up closely. I even saw this, just going back to sunglasses, like we like Ray-Bans, but if you're not careful, you can find Roy-Bans out there. I'm just telling you, like it's just is what it is. And so you got this fake stuff that's, it's not real, it's not authentic, it's a counterfeit. Now how many of you know, and I found this on my search, that it's not just food, it's not just brands, it's people too, right? Like we all just name a few people and we won't do that exercise. But we can name some famous people that this last year, 2021, this year, that it came out, you know, with a politician, a celebrity, a pastor, any kind of public figure, that they were living a double life, right? We've all got stories and things that we've seen. Of course, that's front page. You find it all throughout social media when that news comes out. A person who was living a double life. They had this picture out there that did not match the life behind the picture. And I was researching this and looking through this last week, and here's where I landed, that even though we don't like that in others with brands, food, people, whatever, oftentimes if we're not careful, we can put up a front, aka social media, okay? You put up this picture, and I've done it too, and it does not match what really went down that day, right? Like the photo does not match what was really happening. And I've learned a couple of things being a pastor for over 10 years, and here's one of them. Our sin, like our like insufficiencies, like they look uglier on someone else, don't they? And so I think that's one of the reasons why this irks us and makes us frustrated and mad, because we see a little bit of us in that. I know for me, I won't speak for you, for me, there's been a couple of times, probably a lot more than I'd like to share, where I put up a front that didn't match. And really, this is where David begins in this psalm. And if you're taking notes, would you write this down? Four ways to live unshakable. The first way, this is where he begins, is to look at your character. That's number one. It's where David starts here. And that your character would be true. Your character, make sure it's true. If you want to live unshakable, make sure it's true. Now, he starts with a question, verse 1. This is the next verse, verse 2. And as we all know, this is paramount, especially as people of God, right? That we would not be fake, that we would not be hypocrites, that we would not hold everyone else to the high standard that we don't even live up to, right? Like that we would be people with biblical character. But let's be honest, for a lot of people, and this is outside the church, not inside, but outside, for a lot of people in our world, in our culture, Like Christianity's got a bad reputation, doesn't it? Like we got a reputation problem. And it's not because of Jesus. Jesus was and is perfect. Can I get an amen on a Father's Day? It's no one's got problems with Jesus. It's us, the ones that represent Jesus, right? That we're no more for what we're against than what we're for. That we hold people to standards that maybe we don't always live up to ourselves. And so this is paramount. It's important. This is critical. Character is not a luxury. It's a necessity as a follower of Jesus. Now, maybe you're asking, well, what does that look like? What's biblical character look like? I'll tell you, and this is very simple, but I think a profound definition. I think it was C.S. Lewis that said this first. But here's biblical character. Not a slide for this, but you could still write it down. It's doing the right thing even when nobody is watching. That's biblical character. Fathers, let me encourage all of us that biblical character, if you want to have it, and I know you do, is doing the right thing even when you're not going to get credit for it. It's doing the right thing, everybody, even if you're not going to post it on social media, which, by the way, don't post about how great you are on social media. The Bible says in another place that that's your reward if you brag about it, okay? And I want the better reward. I think you do too. So don't try to get like likes and that stuff. You can't take that to heaven with you, okay? It feels good. Like you get that one like hit. Oh, that serotonin just spikes up for a moment when you see those likes. I'm telling you, it won't last. Instead, focus on doing the right thing. Why, Pastor? Because it's the right thing. Like, this is the way. Come on, Mando, any Mandalorian fans, this is the way. This is what God has called us to. And fathers, again, calling us out in a good way, this is the example we should set for our family. But not just dads, people of God. This is the kind of life that God has called us to, that our character would be true. Here's the second way to live an unshakable life. We're walking through verse by verse like we always do. Here's what David says next, number two. Be careful with your words. Restrain them. Be careful with your words. Make sure they're restrained. Now, this is from verse 3, and it's as straightforward as you can get. Like, you saw this right away. Like you don't need this crazy high degree and doctorate and all this. Like, it's easy to see, plain and simple, to watch your words. It reminds me of what your parents maybe told you as a kid. My parents told me as a kid, maybe what you told your teenager earlier this week. You better watch your mouth. That's what I think of when I read what David has to say. Like they don't do this much anymore, but maybe some of you back in the day, you said something you shouldn't have said as a kid, and they cleaned your mouth out with soap. Anybody remember that kind of parenting? You gotta be careful with that stuff nowadays. Like, it ain't fun. It's memorable, right? But it's not fun to watch your mouth. David says, hey, you got to be careful with what you say, because once the toothpaste is out, how many of you know it's impossible to get it back in that container? Once it's out there, it's out there. Even on social media, I know you think you can delete it, but there's this device, this item on your devices, your phones, called screenshots. It will come back to haunt you. And so looking at verse 3 practically, again, this is more like a proverb than a psalm. We see three questions in verse 3 that you should ask yourself before you tweet, before you post, before you send that email back, before you reply to that text, before you speak words. There's three questions, if you want to live unshakable, that you should ask yourself, especially those of us that like to talk first and then think later. These are three questions we should ask. Number one, are my words true? Like, is what you're saying truthful? Are your words true? Number two, are they necessary? And this is the hardest question of the three. Because maybe what you want to say is true, absolutely. But is it necessary? Can I say it this way? Like, maybe it's necessary, but not through that means. For example, maybe it shouldn't be through an email. Well, they email me first. Buy them lunch and have that discussion in person, man to man, woman to woman. Can I get a witness on Father's Day? Like, if you're brave enough to type it, you should be brave enough to stand before them face to face. So it's not just truth. That's important, obviously. First question. But are your words necessary? And like, do it person to person. And sometimes, like, just because you know the truth doesn't mean you gotta open your mouth every second telling everybody else about the truth that you know. Like, sometimes you gotta restrain it a little bit, David says. You don't hide from it, you don't run from it, but is it necessary? And the third question is this: are your words helpful? Like, are they helpful? Are you hurting somebody? Are you trying to stab them in the back just like they stabbed you in the back? Are they helping them? Are they true? Are they necessary? Are they helpful? And if not, restrain your words. Watch your mouth. Be careful what you say. Why? Because people are listening. They're listening. How you talk and how you react in that valley moment, how you respond when someone comes against you or your family, they're watching how you speak. All right, third way to live an unshakable life. David says this next, at the beginning of verse 4, 4a, know your allegiance. That's number three. Know your allegiance. Make sure it's clear cut. If you're taking notes, jot that down. Your allegiance, make sure it's clear cut. Again, beginning of verse 4, 4a. And really, the beginning of verse 4, friend, is all about loyalty. And I'll step on a soapbox for a second. I believe in our culture, 2021, especially here in America, that's a lost word for us. Would you not agree to that? I see so much disloyalty. As a pastor and counseling people all the time, I see disloyalty in marriage, disloyalty in friendships, disloyalty in family, people not honoring others that they should honor. I see it everywhere. We all could have a long list of the areas that we've seen people be disloyal. Can I tell you, church, that is not what God has called us to. God has called us to be loyal. to be faithful, to be a reflection of God Almighty, to let people know, this is what the psalm specifically talking about, to let people know that we are loyal to God first. It's God first, above family, above friendships, above everything else. Is all of that important? Absolutely, but not most important. It's God first, our allegiance to Him. But so often what happens because of what some pastor said or this experience I had in that church or this conversation with a supposedly Christian person, what happens so often is that we are disloyal. We turn away from God because of what some person said or what some person did. Can I tell you, I am not God. You are not God. Why we let a mere flawed person cause us to turn away and be disloyal? Can I tell you? Like, just because there's one bad dentist doesn't mean they're all bad dentists, okay? And if you avoid the dentist, you will have no teeth. Man, that is so profound, isn't it? Wow, I did not know that. Like it's just reality. Just because one doctor's bad doesn't mean they're all bad. Just because one Christian is always mad and always upset and always in a bad mood doesn't mean that everybody else feels that way, okay? And so we must be loyal to God. He's never turned his back on us, that we would never turn our back on Him. And one of the amazing things that people don't really talk about this that much, and I'm going to talk about it now, but one of the amazing things about giving your life to Jesus, and just hang with me, I'll explain it. One of the amazing things, we're talking allegiance and loyalty, is when you give your life to Jesus, you instantly now get dual citizenship. Instantly. We're citizens of the United States, and we've got that, but when we give our life to Jesus, instantly, we are now citizens of the kingdom of God. And it's incredible. And there's this dichotomy. You see, we're headed to heaven, but we're still living on earth. You look forward to the eternal, you should, but we're operating in the temporary. And so now, citizens of the kingdom of God, while also being citizens of the United States. It's dual citizenship. But please remember, here's why I say all of this. The order of your citizenship is important. Absolutely. Like you may say, like what I'm about to say, you may say it's just semantics, but it's not. Hear me loud and clear, Christ Covenant. We are not American Christians. We are Christian Americans. I thought I'd get better support. Did I come to the right? Is this Christ Covenant? It's God before country. It's God before, is country important? Absolutely, but it's God first. God first. And so you've got this dual citizenship that Christ is first before everything and everyone. It's Jesus above everything else. Can I encourage you, fathers, men of God represented in the room and online, the best gift that you can give to your family, to your friends every single day at any single time is to let them know where your allegiance lies. Like, it's the best gift. Like, I know you're going to get some good gifts today, okay? You should get some good gifts. Like, can I just tell you this? Like on Father's Day, salad is not allowed. I'm just letting you know, okay? This is a heavy meat day. Carbs are from the kingdom of God. Tony, stop laughing at me so much. Like, this is not a kale day. This is not a salad day. This is not a veggie day. Like, can I encourage you? Like I just felt God speak to me just now. Like calories don't count on Father's Day. Can I get a witness? Where's your verse? I don't have a verse. I'm sorry. But like I know you're going to get a gift, and you should get a gift, and you should be spoiled, and you should have a blast today. It's a hard job being a father. All that's absolutely true, but the gift that you give to your family is letting them know where your allegiance lies, not just on a Sunday morning for an hour and 15 minutes. No. Monday through Saturday, I'm living out my allegiance to God, that it's God first. God first. Every decision that you make, every thought that you think, it's Jesus first. That's what God has called us to. We are sons of the King of Kings, fathers. Let your family know that you will live for Jesus no matter what. Sometimes use your words, but all the time use your actions. All right, here's the fourth way to live an unshakable life. And number four, David says next, in your dealings. be honorable. In your dealings, be honorable. This is the end of verse 4, 4b, all the way through the beginning of verse 5, 5a, if you're tracking with me. And as people of God, we are called to be generous with people, to be generous with our talent and our treasure and our time. Like my mentor, about a year ago, he came to speak, and here's what he said. He says, we are blessed to be a blessing. Like, we are blessed not so we can hoard our blessings, but so we can help people, so we can minister to other people's needs. And I know so many of you, as I look out across this room, so many of you, you are living this out, that you are blessed to be a blessing, that you realize that God doesn't just want to bless you and your family, and he does, but he wants to work through you to bless and touch someone else's life. And this last week, as I was just kind of thinking back and looking at what God's doing in our church, and it's just amazing, because remember, it's not our church, it's his church. And it was so awesome, because I was thinking back to our special offering we had on Easter called Legacy Offering, where you went above and beyond. You joined my family and myself and like our staff and our elders, and you just gave sacrificially, and you're living this out. And that's what's funding Serve Day, by the way. It's already funded. It's incredible, and so many other things. I went back to Christmas, this past Christmas 2020, and we had our Christmas offering, and when you add those two together, it means tens and tens of thousands of dollars that y'all gave you, Christ Covenant, above and beyond a tithe to bless and help other people. And this is what's so cool. This past week, and really this is what kind of jump-started that reflection, I got 12 or 13 letters in the mail from Kenya, Africa. And for those that have been around for a little while, especially since Christmas, you know that one of the things that we gave towards was an incredible ministry. We already give to them monthly, like we do so many other. We tithe as a church, by the way. You may not know that. Like, we give away 10% of what comes, like our operating budget of what, like that's what we do. We tithe. It's just pretty awesome. It's because of your faithfulness. But above and beyond that, our Christmas offering, one of the things we gave to was an incredible ministry in Africa, Kenya, Africa. And we gave pastors, many will remember this, full one-year scholarships to Bible college. And this past week, what jump-started it all, as I was reflecting, is I got 12 or 13 letters from those pastors. You don't know their name. They don't know your name. In fact, they're all addressed, Dear Sir, Dear Madam, because they don't know, like us individually, but they know Christ Covenant Church. And each one of them writing of how much this year, because you fully funded it. Bible training, lodging, food, the books, everything for 1 year. Already pastoring, but to help them in their pastoring to be more effective. And I got these letters, and it was just incredible. And I look at this text, and this is what God's called us to, right? In our dealings, to be honorable, to help people. And one of them said this. It's so cool. I'll read just portions of a couple of them. One said this. I would like to thank God first because of you. I'm 35 years old, married to one wife, and that may sound kind of weird, but in that culture, polygamy is a big, big problem. And so they make sure this Bible college, they've got one wife. Blessed to have two daughters. Thank you for being supportive to me. I love this. The prayer of my heart is that God would sustain you through this pandemic. Like, they're praying for us. Isn't that awesome? I promise not to let you down, but to work hard. Did that just get you? I'm not gonna let you down. I'm gonna work hard. God bless you. One more. You did this, Christ Covenant. I really thank God for you for choosing to pay my tuition fees. KMTI, that's the name of the ministry, is the best place to be. Since I stepped here, my life has been transformed. I am a better minister of the gospel. Isn't that awesome? You did that. Your dealings being honorable, this is what God has called us to. And when you do this and live this kind of life, this is when you live unshakable. So let's take this full circle. When your character is true, when your words are restrained, when your allegiance is clear cut, and all your dealings honorable, then you will never be shaken. We want the not shaken part, right? That we would stand firm no matter what. But you don't get any of that until you do all these other things. But here's the tension, and here's the reaction that most of you probably have going through this psalm. I know at least it's been my reaction. The reaction's been this. As I read this, like, how in the world is this attainable? Would anybody else be real with me and be like, yeah, that was kind of my reaction too. Like, how do you do this? Even as a dad, I'm like, how could I ever measure up to this standard? And if you feel that way too, this is when doubt can creep in. Like, this is when guilt can start to set in. But before you go any farther down that road, hear this. You see, this psalm, it's not describing you and me. This is Revelation. It's describing Jesus. In fact, the entire Old Testament snapshots of Jesus. Entire Bible, Old Testament, New Testament, pointing to Jesus. And so when you read this list, if you're like me, like, how do I live up to that? Here's what you need to be encouraged with. It's because of Jesus that we can live this kind of life. It's because of Jesus that we can live this kind of life empowered by the Holy Spirit. And really, this is the gospel. This is the good news for every single one of us. You see, the gospel isn't a declaration that I need to be good, but rather that Jesus is already good and has poured out his goodness upon those who are no good. That's the gospel. If you look at that question at the beginning of the psalm, this is why David uses the word dwell instead of enter. Every word in the Bible is there on purpose, agreed? Every word. If David, being empowered, inspired by the Holy Spirit, if he would have wrote the question this way, how do you enter God's presence, right? Like, how do you enter in? Then the takeaway from this passage would have been that we've got to earn it. That we get good before we get to God. But that's backwards. It's backwards. That's not good news. Even the greatest saint represented here, it definitely ain't me, by the way, but the greatest one, you're not good enough either. Mother Teresa's not good enough. The best father figure you can think of is not good enough. We don't get cleaned up before we come to God. We come to God just as we are, and he cleans us up. That's why he says dwell and not enter. So the good news for us is that Jesus and what he's done for us on the cross, he's the one that made a way. He's the one, not you. Not how good you are, how bad you are. And so if you've ever felt like you aren't good enough, the good news of the gospel is that Jesus is good enough for all of us. And if this makes you upset, that's because you're religious. Well, actually, you need to do this, this, and this. No, you sound like a Pharisee. You don't sound like Jesus. It's not religion, friend. It's a relationship with Jesus. And when you love Jesus and you know he loves you, when you surrender your life to Jesus, when he's the one that's cleaned you up and made you new, you want to live your life for him. Not out of guilt, out of love, out of relationship. It's not religion, relationship. It's like my wife, middle front here, like, I love her so much, and because of my love for her, I live a certain way. And it's one relationship for forever. It's not because I have to, it's because I get to. Do you see the difference? It's not this obligation or this guilt. Oh, if I mess up. I want to be devoted to her because I love her. It's the difference. Let's pray. Jesus, I pray for my friends right now. I pray, first of all, for all the fathers represented. God, I know what you've called us to as a church. We don't get down on fathers or down on men. No, no, no. We encourage fathers. We encourage men. We're so thankful for them in our lives. They make a difference. Everything they say, everything they do. And I pray you encourage every single father that I know as they look at this list, just like as I looked at it, that there's areas that you're working on and things that need to be corrected. And But God, may you encourage them that because of who you are and what you've done, that you'll give us the strength that we need to live this out, to be faithful, to be loyal. I pray, God, for every other person represented that looks at this list and like, man, I can't measure up. Encourage them that you're the one that measures up. You're the perfect one, Jesus. Because of you, who you are and what you've done, they can have strength too to live this out, to live the kind of life you've called them to live. And I pray also for anybody in this room or online that's far from you, I pray today would be their day where they surrender all. I'm talking about allegiance, that Jesus, they would give you their life, their whole heart. They wouldn't hold back. Friend, hear the word of the Lord. You don't get cleaned up before you come to God. You come to God just as you are, and he will clean you up. And you can do that right now in the room, online. I'm going to coach you up for a moment. Every eye closed, please. Every head bowed. Just focus into my voice and what God's speaking to you. I want to coach you up in accordance with Romans chapter 10, verse 9. It says this, that if you believe in your heart that Jesus is Lord, or that you confess with your heart Jesus is Lord and believe that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. It's confession, it's belief. It's putting your whole life in the hands of Jesus, asking him to forgive you. You can do that right now. You can whisper to him. In fact, it's so important that you do, that you tell him, Jesus, I love you. Thank you for loving me. Thank you for setting me free. I feel you doing it right now. Thank you for saving me. I ask you to clean me up, to make me new, to restore me, to forgive me of all my sin. I realize now I can't earn my salvation. I can't earn my way to you. But as I come to you just as I am, you're cleaning me up. You're doing it now. I believe, Jesus, you are God. I believe you died on the cross. I believe you rose from the dead. Thank you for what you're doing. Thank you that this Father's Day will be a day every single year moving forward that I'll remember, not only celebrating fathers, but celebrating the day that I gave my life to you, the good Father, my eternal Father. Thank you, God, for lives that are being changed right now. We love you so much. We're so grateful. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. Amen. Amen.
Thank you so much for listening today. If you made a decision for Jesus Christ, or if your life has been impacted in any way, please send us an email at info@christcov.net. We would love to hear your story. And for those that committed your life to Christ, we want to help you on your new journey by sending our free Start Bible Kit in the mail. If you'd like to partner with us financially, simply click on the Give tab at christcov.net. There it will take you to a safe and secure page where you can set up a one-time or recurring gift to help us accomplish our vision, heaven full and hell empty. And as always, you can find out more about Christ's Covenant on our website or on Facebook or Instagram at Christ Cove Houston.